The assignment the Lord's given me tonight is this message called Get Up. It's time for you to do what you've never done. Get up. It's time for you to do what you've never done. One of the properties of God in his sovereignty is his foreknowledge, his omniscience. He knows everything. And the Lord has a plan for you in this season that's going to be outrageously fruitful. And God's going to turn things in your favor in this season. Watch what he's about to do. I want to share a verse for you from the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 begins with this, and it says, now Peter and John, the church had just been born, and Pentecost had just been poured out on the 120 in the upper room in the previous chapter. And then the next chapter connects us to what happens right after the church is born and the Spirit is released. Peter and John went together to the temple. The hour of prayer, the ninth hour, that would be 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or beg from those who went to the temple. So Peter and John are coming one way, and every day a man was carried, a man who was born paralyzed, who had never walked, was laid right at the gate of the temple. And he asked for alms. He was begging at the gate every day. And so there's about to be this divine intersection. And fixing his eyes on this man with John, Peter said to the man, look at us. And the man gave his attention to Peter, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, I forgot my checkbook at home. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I have something. I have the currency of heaven. What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter then, responding to that prayer of faith, reached out his hand and took him by the right hand and lifted up the lame man. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So the man leaped up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, something he could not do with physical imperfections or deformity. He went where he'd never gone. He went to the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine the uncontrollable, unspeakable, glorious joy that's just emanating from this man who's healed? And the first thing he's doing after being healed is going where he was never allowed to go, into the temple. And so all the people there saw that man walking and praising God. They knew it was that man, born lame. And they knew it was the man who had begged for alms at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Greek word ecstasis, we get the word ecstasy, a displacement of the mind, an elevated status of the mind that only comes by seeing the supernatural. They were filled with ecstasy about what had happened to him. Father, I pray that you would anoint your servant, your people, and your word, and that you would do miracles in this moment for your bride, for your precious children, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just 3 points from this passage I want to share with you today. It begins with, there's so many beautiful interactions in this moment. The first miracle of the church is given a pretty graphic, a pretty detailed narrative about what had happened and why it happened and who it happened to. First thing I want to take note of, the man had been in a physical place of suffering, a place of dysfunction for so long. He was no longer called by his name. He was identified by his dysfunction. You know, if you have a problem long enough, people will, it's just human nature. People will identify you. Oh, that's the depressed person, or that's the, divorced or bankrupt or addicted person. People will begin to identify you by your pain instead of your name. That's just human nature. But God never changes who he's called you to be. He never changes his mind. He never changes his will and purpose for your life. And so they would come, and here's Peter and John coming to prayer, and they would enter by the gate into the temple courtyard called Beautiful. And the Greek word for beautiful is horaos. It is a beautiful and important word. Hora is the Greek word for hour. Horaos means the right time, right hour, the right season. And the etymology of that word, the beautiful genesis of its meaning is this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says this: God makes everything beautiful in its time. So when it's the right time, there's a connection to that's a beautiful moment. There's a synchronicity. There's a beautiful collaboration of what God wants to do and the timing finally coming for that to be done. And so here we are in right timing. He's at the gate of right. Man, I want to say that to you. I don't care how long you've been going through the issue that you're facing. You're in the right timing. You're in the season of a beautiful work of grace. You're in the season of breakthrough. You're in the season of a heavenly visitation and an answer to your prayer, a miracle in your life, whatever it is, physically, financially, relationally, in your family's salvation. You're right there at the gate. And every day I admire the man who didn't give up on life, even though his life was imperfect. So he did something. He did what he could with what he had. So he was crippled. So instead of staying at home and doing nothing, he had his family or friends carry him. He had a little spot there. Just imagine, he'd been coming there not just for weeks or months, but for years. And so he was familiar. He was a part of the scenery. He was a part of the routine of going in and out of the temple, noticing the man who made his living, who was at least doing something. You know what? God can bless something. And he went to work that day expecting the same kind of routine that he always had gone through. And he encountered some men that didn't know what God was going to do but were available from the Holy Spirit. My first point is this to you. Recognize divine appointments in your daily routine. So for this man, this was a daily routine. He would go there. They would lay him there. And Peter and John, it was also a routine of prayer. It was a habit of prayer, the 3 o'clock afternoon prayer time at the temple. So both of these parties are in the habit of life, the normalcy of life. But there's about to be a divine interruption because now Peter and John aren't just men. They're Holy Spirit men. They're filled. In chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Christ said this in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that power will make you a witness in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the othermost parts of the earth. So they've received a different kind of endowment. They've received an endowment. They've received a Holy Spirit power, a supernatural faculty that they did not have before the day of Pentecost. And so here comes the men, now spirit-filled by the power of the wonderful Holy Spirit. And so they come to the man, and the man asked for alms. And that was a habit to him, and it was a habit to Peter and John, who I'm sure had seen this man because he was laid there every day, hundreds or even more times. They'd seen him there. And so, but this day, something changed. The Holy Spirit inside of Peter alerted him to a divine interruption. That God was breaking the routines where we miss things we could see because we're just kind of on automatic pilot. We're just kind of going through the motions of travel or on our way. They were on their way to something important. It's so interesting that many, if not most, of the miracles of Christ happened on the way to some place he was going to. They were unscheduled events. They were divine disruptions, but a miracle came in that moment because Jesus was available to the Holy Spirit to seize the purpose of a moment, to seize the promise of a moment in time. So here comes the man, and the man looks at them and says, please, can I have an alm? And Peter looks at him, but this time he sees him so different. He doesn't see where he's at. Peter sees where God wants him to be. Peter doesn't just see what he's doing. Peter sees what he can and is called to do. Wow, wow, wow. So Peter, the Holy Spirit alerted the Apostle Peter that this was a moment for a miracle, that this was a divine interruption, that this was a divine appointment, not just a coincidence. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we capture moments that we miss when we're not. We capture the potential. We capture the purpose, the heavenly purpose of a moment in time, whether it's at the grocery store, in the family, the neighborhood, at work, whatever we're doing. Instead of kind of going to the routine or going to the objective that are of our destination, on the journey there, the Holy Spirit can alert us to a divine appointment, a divine disruption, a divine interruption of our schedule, of our habit, of our routine, about something God wants us to do. Holy Spirit, you have permission to interrupt my life anytime to help someone. So Simon Peter knows and recognizes it's not an accident you ran into them. It's a divine appointment. When you look at the people that come in and out of your life, instead of looking at them through the normal lens of their circumstance or of your routine, the Holy Spirit will alert you to, hey, this isn't an accident that you've run into someone. Often, it happens to me all the time. When I'll run into someone at some event and at a store or mall or some other place, and I'll recognize, you know, God wants me to help that person. And so I've ministered and prayed and prophesied to people in all kinds of strange and unusual places that we encountered each other because I recognize it wasn't a coincidence, it was an appointment. The more Spirit-filled we are, the more Spirit-led we are, the better we capture God's purpose in a moment of time. And so Peter and John are ready. Take a second look. Peter looked at this man, and the Bible says he looked steadfastly. He kept looking at him. Take a second look through the eyes of the wonderful Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Is there something we're missing that the Holy Spirit can show us about this person, this moment in time, so we can capture it? Don't be in such a rush to get somewhere that you miss the miracle God scheduled for you on the way there. Don't be in such a rush to get somewhere that you miss the miracle God scheduled for you on the way there. Remember, Christ gave the parable of the good neighbor. Who is your neighbor? The good Samaritan. And a priest and a Levite were on their way to do good things, but they missed a God moment because it wasn't in their calendar or their schedule. Their hearts could not be interrupted by love. The love of God couldn't pull them into a ministry moment. So they passed by the other side. They missed a healing moment because they weren't accessible by the Holy Spirit to what he would do. A Samaritan, a hurting person, a person with a background of some interesting pain, the Holy Spirit alerted him, hey, help this man. Help this man. And the Samaritan captured the purpose of God, captured what God would do in that moment. It's so important. The second thing I want to alert you to is this. When Peter said to the man, look at us. And so the man is asking for alms. So just picture a crowded scene. There's a lot of people coming and going. And Peter said, hey, look at us. Look at us. And so the man shifted his focus from being kind of distracted to Peter. He looked right at Peter. And the Bible says this. When he looked at Peter, he didn't look just out of curiosity or out of self-interest. The Bible says he looked at them expecting to receive something. I first said this 35, maybe 34 years ago, and I believe a lot of people latched on to it. This simple point, expectation is the birthing ground of the miraculous. Expectation is the birthing ground of the miraculous. It's not an accident that this man had an expectation, because that's needed in our interaction with God. Because people that don't expect anything hardly ever get anything in the kingdom, because faith is the currency that allows there to be a transaction from heaven to earth, from God's promises into our problems. So without that expectation, then we miss out on what could happen. And so the man had expectation. And God wants us to live with that beautiful currency in our hearts of faith and of hope, of expectation of what God can do. Hebrews 11:6 says this about expectation or faith. Without faith, without expecting God's promises to be fulfilled, without believing God and therefore having expectation, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he's there. But secondly, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So expectation is when you make a demand on a promise to be fulfilled in your life. I believe God's good and I'm expecting his goodness. I believe God's a healer and I'm expecting his healing. I believe God's a provider and I'm expecting his provision. God wants us to live with something that we're believing for, something good coming from God into our lives all the time. That expectation. What are you expecting? Are you expecting that they used to use that phrase for a woman being pregnant? But are you expecting? What are you expecting? What areas of your life have you built hope and faith to the place that you now live at a constancy? Something good's on the way, an expectation from God. Romans 5:5 says this about the promises of God. Now, hope does not disappoint. Hope in God is never disappointed from God. God never disappoints the expectant heart. Elpis is the Greek word for hope. It means an expectation of good in the future. It means to joyously anticipate something good coming in your future. And so God puts inside of us by his Holy Spirit, by the promises of his word, by his love, he plants the seeds of faith and expectation so that we live differently than people that have no hope or have no faith. And the Bible goes on to say about that verse, and love, because of God's love for us, and hope does not disappoint, because what? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Because I have love in me, hope can blossom from me. Hope grows in the garden of love. The seeds of hope flourish when they're planted in the fertile ground of God's love. And, you know, it's easy. Faith is easy when you know you are loved. Hope is easy when you know you're loved. Expectation is easy when you know you're loved. The more of his love I experience, the easier it is for my hope, my faith, my expectation to flourish in whatever season I'm in. That's what God has for us. God wants you to live with the expectation that something very good is about to happen in your life. God wants you to live with the expectation that something very good is going to happen in your life. Have you ever had a relative, you know, say, I'm sending you a birthday check, and it's in the mail, and every day you're out there running and opening the mail, hoping it's there, because you know it's in the delivery process. You're not sure about the exact arrival day, but you know it's been delivered. And God wants us to live with that kind of expectation. It's already in the delivery system of heaven, the fulfillment of God's promise to your life, the fulfillment of God's purpose in your life, the fulfillment of destiny, the fulfillment of God's faithfulness in answering your prayers. It's in the delivery system. Keep checking your mailbox. Keep expecting God to do amazing things. This man was filled with expectation. And then my third point is simple, but it's powerful, and I want you to get it. The name of Jesus has the power to heal and restore the infirmity and brokenness of mankind. The name of Jesus Christ has the power to heal and restore the infirmity and brokenness of mankind. So In this moment, Peter looked at him and realized God wanted to help him. Compassion isn't just when you feel empathy for someone. Compassion is when you make a difference in their life. And Jesus moved with compassion. Frequently, the Bible says in the Gospels, he didn't just feel pity, empathy, or sorrow for people. He changed their circumstances with a miraculous intervention, a divine disruption. And so here's this man. And so Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And he uses the great Greek word, egero. And egero means to wake someone from sleeping, from lying down, to awake them from inactivity, from obscurity, from sickness, from disease, or even death. So it's a wake-up word. It means to rouse someone who's been slumbering and has so much spiritual context because this man's health had been slumbering. His potential had been sleeping. He had unfulfilled potential because there was brokenness in his body. And so there were things he could not do because he was unable to do them until he encountered someone who carried the Holy Spirit's presence and the name of Jesus. And those two things, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the name of Jesus, brought about a miraculous moment. And so Peter, the Bible says, he said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. And he uses the word egero, awake. It's your time. Get up. You're about to do what you've never done. Get up. You're about to go where you've never gone. I feel it right now. I declare it over you. You're about to do, my friend, what you've never done and go where you've never done. Get up. Get up. Rise up. No matter what's happened in your world, no matter what knocked you down, no matter what's never happened, no matter what you haven't seen yet, God is awakening inside of you the revelation of what you've been missing so you can rise up in this moment by the name of Jesus and fulfill the purpose of God for your life. Peter gives a great crowd gathers as this man's walking and leaping. This is a very public miracle. And everyone in Jerusalem knew him, especially the Jews. They all knew, hey, that's the guy born lame. Now he's walking, leaping, and praising God. And so Peter begins to preach to them about how this miracle occurred. Peter said, why do you look at me as if Simon Peter did this? He said this in verse 16. Here's the secret. And the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you all see and know. Yes, the faith that comes through him has given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter completely deflected all the praise and all the glory back to Jesus. And here's what Peter said. It was the name of Jesus that did this. And my faith in that name. Oh, by the way, even the faith that I have, God gave me. God gave me the faith to use. I've used the faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And so Peter said, it was the name, the name, the name, the name. Oh, God, open our eyes to the power of the name of Jesus. Open our eyes to the things that we can unlock, that we can release, that we can restore, that we can repair, that we can deliver, that we can set free in the name of Jesus. There are so many miracles that God's ready to do. There are so many rise up moments that God's ready to release in your life into this world by the name of Jesus. We have the name, we have the spirit, and we have faith. And when there's a collaboration of those three things, God can do anything he wants to do by the name of Jesus. And Peter uses a Greek word, a great Greek compound word that we translate as perfect soundness. He said, the name of Jesus and faith in that name has given this man perfect soundness. And so in the Greek, it's a powerful word. And let me just share it with you because it means to restore completely to the original design. To restore something to its original design, to be complete in every part, to be whole, to have integrity, having all the parts. So it's a great word, perfectly placed in Scripture so that we could know the promise that God has for anybody that's going through things, that there's a perfect soundness. And so the Holy Spirit will show us things we've never seen. And so this man had never walked. He had never gone to the temple. And When he encountered men who carried the name of Jesus, they lifted him up by the power of that name, and he did what he'd never done, and he went where he'd never gone. And the importance of that is this, that we're not to, in our lives, ever discount what God can do because something's been a certain way for a long time. We've been given authority in the name of Jesus to release and restore people and places to their original God-given design. When you see something that's wrong, when you see an unfulfilled purpose or a misused life or a misused behavior or something that's been dysfunction, something that's not working right, sometimes the Holy Spirit will rise up inside of you and says, that's not right. Well, that feeling is God saying, I want to change that. I want to change that. Unleash the power of my name. If someone in your family is struggling and they're not walking with Christ and their behavior is even self-hurting and self-destructive and we could watch them on that path. That's not the path God has for them. They're not in the perfect soundness. They're not in the original design of God for their life. And we can use the name of Jesus and pray that person back into the path, into the life, into the identity, into the calling that God himself ordained for them. By the name of Jesus, we can do that in people's lives, in places, in nations, in cities, in churches, in families, in circumstances. So the Holy Spirit alerts us like he did to Peter and John that something was wrong. And God wanted to fix it. God wanted to restore something that was broken. God wanted to repair something that wasn't working right. If your marriage is going through a hellish season of difficulty, instead of believing that it has to always be that way, the name of Jesus can heal it. The name of Jesus can set your children free from addiction. The name of Jesus can set you free from perpetual depression, hopelessness, continual anxiety. There's literally no human pain, injury, a sickness, disease, infirmity, oppression of the enemy that the name of Jesus cannot heal and restore our lives from. Man, think about that. There's nothing that the name of Jesus can't fix. And so Peter said, the name made things right. I used the name to make things right. I used the name to help this man get to where he was supposed to go. I used the name to help him do what he'd never done. Now, I just want to touch on that just for a moment, because God wants us as believers to allow the Holy Spirit to show us in our own story things we've not yet seen clearly. There are parts of our lives and parts of our history that have dominated our identity and our future expectation. And God says, I want to interrupt your routine. I want to interrupt the way that you view yourself or view your future by showing you what could happen. What God could do. The possibilities of God are endless. Anyone can see what's broken and wrong. That's having natural sight. Kingdom people see how God can heal and make it right. So the Holy Spirit, just like Peter, was looking at this crippled man, and Peter, fastening his eyes on him, is now looking through the Holy Spirit's lens of a heavenly perspective. And the Holy Spirit shows Peter how things could be, how God wants them to be. They've never been that way. See, there are some things we've never seen that God can't wait to do if we can see the heavenly design, the heavenly purpose, the heavenly calling, the heavenly, the spiritual purpose of something that God originally mandated when he made it. And God says, both in nations, in families, in cities, God wants to restore his purpose. And the name of Jesus has the power to do that. So anyone can see, well, there's a problem there. Yeah, I know there's a problem. What are you going to do about it? You got the name, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have faith. And you can unleash a heavenly remedy by the name of Jesus. That's what you can do. It's time for divine disruptions of the status quo and routine of our lives. And so we want to say to the Holy Spirit, don't let me miss a miracle because I'm on a journey to get somewhere. Don't let my destination be more important than a divine disruption. I'm open, Holy Spirit, divine appointments. I want to capture a moment, even in this season, which is pretty awkward and hurtful, There are so many things God wants to do. Things aren't going to continue the way they've always been. God is awakening in your heart what you've been missing. God's awakening you to what you've been missing. God's going to help you see, like Peter saw, what this man was missing. We can pray in other people's lives as we look at them. Anybody can be a critic of someone's dysfunctional, hurtful, or sinful behavior. But kingdom people find gold where other people only find dirt. We see heavenly calling, the hidden gems that are buried underneath the heartache and sinfulness of people's lives, and we call them out by the name of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. God's ready to do those things. He's ready to awaken our hearts. My friend, you're about to do what you've never done. I declare it in Christ's name, that there is inside of you an awakening that's going to happen. I remember when the Lord gave me, I was just 18 years old, and I was praying all night in a music practice room at Life Pacific College University in California. The seminary I went to as a young man, and I was praying all night, and it was a music room, and it was padded and soundproof, so I wouldn't disturb anyone that was sleeping. It was late at night, like a Friday night. And as I'm praying, just laying on the floor, I've been praying for a long time, in the middle of the night, maybe 2 or 3 in the morning, I looked over at the piano that was there. And I had the instinct, even though I wasn't trained, had no ability, no acumen, no understanding of music. And so instinctively, I felt to get up and go sit at that piano. And when I did, I put my hands on it. God gave me the gift of playing the piano. And here's the whole point of that. The closer I got to the Holy Spirit, the more he made me aware of things that were in me that I wasn't aware of. He showed me what I was missing. He awakened me to the potential that I was sleeping, that I was blinded to, that I had no consciousness of. Oh, God's going to do these things. God is revealing unseen and unknown purpose and calling and awakening unrealized potential and gifts in your life. God's revealing unseen and unknown purposes. And he's awakening unrealized potential in your life. What you have not seen, the Holy Spirit, it is literally impossible without the Holy Spirit's interaction for us to know everything we're called to do in life. No matter how good you are at something, without the Holy Spirit, you'll always be missing out on so many things that are divine gifts, divine enablements, divine callings, divine potentials, divine purposes that you were born with, that you are predestined to live in. And the Holy Spirit will have that. And just think about, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're going through the routine of life like Peter and John, that we will have an interaction, an intersection with people that are hurting, people that are suffering, people that are going through things. Instead of just passing them by or giving them what they think they need, here's an important point. Most people ask for what they think they need instead of what God knows they need. And Peter said, you think you need money, but I know what you really need, a miracle. Woo-hoo. And that's what God will help us and give us what we really need. And we can give other people what they really need, a experience with heaven, an interaction with the Holy Spirit, a divine moment. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the resurrected Savior. I pray in the name of Jesus for the awakening of sleeping potential, the awakening of hidden gifts, the awakening of unrealized callings in your life. I pray in the name of Jesus for anything that's been broken, anything that's been unable to be used. Maybe it's been that way your whole life, but I pray for a new revelation to come to you about what God wants something to be, your family, your life, your marriage, your health, your ministry, your business, your future, your own identity. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for the grace of God to flood into your world until, like Peter, you see something different. Until, like the man, you start expecting something good to happen. Until, like Peter, that you lift up people. Maybe it's your own self. You lift yourself up in the name of Jesus and say, I'm not going to stay down. I'm not going to stay broken. I refuse to live my whole life being depressed or living in constant and broken grief or sorrow. I refuse to be anxious every moment of my life. In the name of Jesus, I claim my freedom. The name of Jesus has the power to set us free. It has the power to set other people free. I pray that God uses you to help someone. And if you need help today, I pray in the name of Jesus for a miracle in your story. And I say to you, get up. My friend, get up. It's time for you to do what you've never done in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for listening to me tonight.